Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Pastor Kenny Powers in here for Pastor Tony tonight. Keep him in your prayers. He's been pretty sick with pneumonia and seen a few doctors, and he's going back to the doctor tomorrow. So keep him in your prayers if you would. So I'm filling in here tonight for him. We'll pick up here in the book of Philemon. Now, I have not taught on this before, so it's my first time teaching it, but I've heard it taught many times. So Pastor Tony's taught on it several times. The book of Philemon, it's right before Hebrews. It's only, the whole book is, pardon me, getting over a cold. The whole book is 25 verses. So we'll pick up here in verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved, and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be bold, might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, and that is mine own vows, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a reason, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore as therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, and my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. All right, so we'll just ask the blessing of the reading of this word this evening. Father, that you continue to show your servant mercy and kindness and bless this message, Father, with your spirit, and bring forth from this message tonight that which all of us need to hear, Father. And we're asking this to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So starting off here, keep in mind that, you know, Paul, going back, he was in bonds for being a Roman, and he chose to be persecuted, right? But he could have appealed to Caesar, and that's what he did, because God had a plan for him to go to Rome to preach the gospel, right? And this is a thing that's not always easy to understand, especially with this chapter, because, right, he's actually kind of happy about being a prisoner and being a slave, right, where we don't really like that. We like the easy life. We want things to go smoother. So let's start off here, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Now, Philemon was a fellow laborer in Christ. And apparently, as we study this word tonight, he was very, very much loved. And to our beloved Apphian and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thine house. So the church isn't exactly a building, right? Because the church was in thy house, right? So church is a group of born-again children of the living God. So this is what we are. We are the church. We are believers, right, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank God, my
I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Oh boy, there's that saints thing. Who are the saints? Who is a saint? So a saint is a born-again child of the living God, a man or a woman who have fulfilled that plan of salvation. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38. So I thank God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, verse 6 is a mouthful. That's a lot of stuff to cover here. That the communication of thy or your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And I teach on Romans chapter 1. I think where mankind goes wrong mostly is because when we do not acknowledge God for everything, even if we have bad problems, right, your business is not doing well, you can't figure things out, we still need to thank God for all those things. It becomes a slippery slope, and this is the problem that we get into in Romans chapter 1, where we talk, it's a systematic breakdown of mankind when we don't acknowledge God for all things. So I just wanted to cover that because it's important here in verse 6 that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So every good thing comes from above. Amen. So all good things come from above. They don't come from, right, in the flesh dwelleth no good thing, right? So there's nothing good in me, in my body, right? Now, with Christ, when we put him on, right, we have him inside of us. We can do all things through Christ, right, if we are born again, child of the living God, and we walk with him. We can do all good things, all things through Christ that liveth within me, right? So we have to put him on all the time and have him on all the time and always acknowledge God all the time. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation with thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Now, excuse me. Verse 7, to console is to bring comfort, right? To bring comfort to some, you know, consolation. So that's a communication. Okay, so verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love. So this is the kind of love that we have to have where we bring peace and sort of calmness to other people because of our faith in Jesus Christ, because of our belief in God and his word and what he has done for us should comfort other people. It should console people, right? Calm them down, bring them happiness and bring them some kind of peace in their life, right? Like David had wrote, that peace that passes all understanding. Well, that come from, see, it's not just limited to the people in the Bible. And some people are saying, well, that, how do I get that spot? Well, you have to love one another. You have to acknowledge God for all things. Right? We just have to read the Bible and do what it says. And keep doing that every day. So we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So this is something that we lack today, I think, in the internet world that we live in, because there's no, like tonight, there's just two people here. Nobody's called in. Somewhat, the internet has taken away a lot of the fellowshipping. right where we ought to gather together. So I can't lay hands on people to pray if they're not here, right? Right. I mean, we don't have a baptistry, but I mean, right, there's nobody here. So I'm just saying, right, I can't anoint people with oil if they don't show up. Now, we can do this virtual. If I have help, we can do it, right? I've done it. Pastor Tony's done it, baptism, right, using audio and visual, right? It can be done. But this is the biggest problem that I see that we have in the church is it's divided and there's just almost no fellowshipping being done anywhere, hardly any. Our churches that used to have, you know, 50 people now have maybe 5 if they're still open. And with this disease problem that we've had, so a lot of our churches have closed down. And can't get back going, right? So this is the thing that we need to refresh the bowels of the saints because we all need that. That's why we need the fellowshipping. And, you know, I've been doing some teaching here. I've been a little under the weather here lately, but I've been on internet teaching every day, doing like a verse of the day. It's not very much. Right, but I do try to keep the people focused on God's word, right, and give them something to look forward to each and every day. So we need to focus on our own walk, right, so that we become that Jesus Christ that other people are looking for needs to be in us. We can't just want somebody else to be righteous, right? We got to be that example, right? I know it's comfortable when it's somebody else, but the problem is when we're all comfortable with somebody else doing it, nobody's doing it. And if we aren't righteous, then nobody is. So we have to be that example. We have to study the Bible, and we have to accept what it says, and then we got to teach it. But mostly we got to live it. So it's our responsibility to refresh the bowels of the saints. Other believers are not, right, going to do that on their own, right? This is why we need fellowshipping, right? We need to talk to one another, love one another. Verse 8, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So there's another thing here that Paul's really strong in his writing and his teaching, but he always starts with the same way, but it's something that maybe it's just me, but I seem to sometimes I miss, and that's his humility. Paul is a very humble man, and God had humbled him, right? Was blinded on that Damascus road, right? And he knew who God was at that point. Before he didn't honestly know who he was. And we all need to get to that point where we know who the boss is. And we got to get to that point. Right, and that goes into Hebrews of chapter 11, right there, where it talks about faith. Right, we have to acknowledge that he is. Right, and he will reward us for our faith in him. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech you, being such as one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. So one more verse. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. So there's a lot of teaching here. Let's break this down a little bit. So Onesimus, here verse 10, begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. So how is being a prisoner profitable? So this is the part, right, we don't like, right? We like comfortable things. We want peace. We want financial freedom, right? We want all the good stuff. But the problem is, sometimes having all that money, and you see it in out here in our society, I've seen it in my family, they just get money. it doesn't profit them, right? It's not that it's not profitable, but without God and the Holy Spirit to teach us what to do, where to go, what to say, right? Wealth or anything that God gives becomes unprofitable, right? You notice that if you study Proverbs all the way through, right? That God will give, the righteous will be blessed with it, but the unrighteous won't, right? And it's just the way that it is. So with God inside of us and leading us and guiding us and teaching us patience and mercy and love and care for other people, we, like he says here, but now profitable to thee and to me. So going through difficult times, even being in a prison, right, in chains, right, you can thank God for that. There's a reason God has you there. And, you know, the reason might be because you didn't listen, possibly, right? On the other side is something God has to break you. I mean, it's not nice. We don't like saying that, but maybe God can't, something in you needs broken, and that's the only way to get it done, right? Now, I can't speak for all people because God has his own plan for every believer, right? So, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. So he's sending him in Paul's stead, right, in his place. Instead, basically receive him as receiving me, right? He would be my surrogate. I think that's another word for it. But, right, so that's the thing. We need to, on God's word, right, and how it is that we can see the profit, right, in these bad things. But here it happened to us. So Paul sent him again, verse 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were necessity, but willingly. So you can, if you study closely here, you understand Paul's humility, right? He's doing it willingly because he'd rather have somebody minister to him, because like Pastor Tony, right now his daughter's with him. I'd like to stay there and minister to him every day, right? But his daughter's there. So I'm thankful that he has somebody there to minister to him, right? And those people out here in the world that are in chains, in prison for Christ, right? I pray that someone can minister to them in their chains, right? Because we need that. We need somebody to look after us and say it's okay and teach us something, you know, remind us. So we have that fellowship, right? We got to have that fellowship, because if we don't have, and that's what's wrong with right here tonight in our church, right? There's nobody here to, you know what I mean? We don't have no fellowshipping in our community. And it's difficult, right, to be a one-man band here and keep the doors open and the lights on and to stay positive, right, when there's, it kind of, in some respects, it does feel a little bit like chains. Because, right, I feel restrained. You know, people don't want to come here. But they are the one in chains, right? I'm not chaining them. The door's open, right, so to speak. But the enemy has them in bonds, right? They are unable to see the value of this word. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So he's saying here, you know, he might be coming to you forever. So, but not now as a servant, but above a servant. A brother beloved, especially to me. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Once again, he was saying that earlier up here. So it's kind of like a surrogate. It's going to, right, accept him as from me, right? It's the same, right? He speaks for me. And I'm reminded of when the centurion, and Jesus said, well, take me to, right? I think Jesus was pointing to take him to his son or something, right? Centurion said, no, that's all right. You just say it's done and it'll be done, right? Jesus was marveled by that, right? Because he'd never seen faith like that in Israel. Right, but, you know, this is the thing, that the kind of faith that we need to have. We need to believe and it's done. Right, the centurion says, look, I give an order, it gets done. Right, you say, my kid will be healed. Hey, it was done. Right, all you got to do is say the word, and I believe it's a done deal. So he's saying here to receive him as me. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thy own self besides. So, look, if he owes you something, right, I'll take care of it. So that's what he's saying here. So receive him as myself. He have wronged thee or owed thee. Dear brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. So, and this is the thing where we get that restoration, we get that through fellowship and through study of the Bible and letting God work through us. If we're supposed to love others, that's the thing. The church world doesn't want to seem, and I didn't grow up Christian, so I'm having to learn some of this, that it's a work, right? I grow in my faith and I get stronger with God if I study it and I share it. Right. If I just keep it for myself, I don't grow. Right. And it's something that I don't see a lot of Christians doing. Right. They're not growing from my perspective. too many are not growing. They are, you know, studying it for themselves. Like I said, the internet world has kind of cut down a lot of the fellowshipping. So, you know what I mean? We don't have that. We just watch videos today, and we may say amen or whatever, but there's no real kind of a connection necessarily like that you would have with like praying with somebody. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, meaning outside, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. So that's a pretty strong statement there, because, you know, Paul is a prisoner. So this guy's prayers, right, says, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. That's pretty strong praying right there. So this guy, Philemon, was a strong prayer warrior. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. So this is kind of a short chapter. It's just 25 verses. Sorry about not doing the longer chapter tonight. But it's important to study this chapter, because we really see the humility of Paul and the kind of love that we are supposed to have as Christians, right? We are supposed to encourage other people to love and to care for other people, especially the brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know what I mean? It's instead of all the hate and the division that we have today, that should not be. We should stand together, united, and we don't. And that's the problem with the world that we're living in today. All right. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for this evening service. And, Father, for this little church that you keep open, Father. We're still reaching people around the world with this Blog Talk Radio, Father. We're still reaching people in our community, Father, one person at a time. We're not able to, at the moment, Father, to get everyone in the community in here. But, Father, we are not giving up. We are not quitting. We stand strong. We stand firm on your word and on your promises, Father. Just continue to bless this little church and keep it as a lighthouse for this community. And keep us healthy and strong. Father, right now, there's several of us that are sick, myself included. Pastor Tony is down sick pretty bad. Father, just continue to heal him as you've healed him many times, Father, in his life. Father, just continue to heal him and to show him mercy and love and kindness, Father, each and every day. And Father, just keep us healthy in preaching your word, and keep that enemy far from us, Father. He wants his ministry destroyed. I know he's after me to destroy me every day, Father. Keep that old devil far away from us, Father, and help us to stand united as one. And Father, pray for Brother James, that you give him some success with his businesses. Father, help him with his walk, Father, and study of your word. And we pray for all these people on our prayer list, Father. Too many here to go over, but you know who they are, Father. We pray for them. We pray especially for our family that don't know you, your son is their Savior, Father. Many of our family are lost and dying in this world, Father. They don't even know that they're lost. Father, that a word could be said and spoken unto these people in our families, in our work, where we work, Father, and in our community, that a word could be said to reach them so that they could turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, turn to your Son as their Savior, and study God's word and stand on faith and righteousness, Father. And we ask this all to be done. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right. God bless you all.